I want to continue on the course, the prayer of faith. Today I want to talk to you about how to pray the prayer of faith for others. Let's look at what Jesus did. As soon as he appointed 12 apostles, first thing he did was gave them power to cast out devils and heal the sick. It says in Matthew 10, verses 1, then 7 through 8, "And when he had called the 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. In verse 7, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." And then in Mark 6, 7, and then 12 and 13, "And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. So they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons, and anointed with oil many who were sick, and healed them." And then Luke 9, 1, 1 and 2, and 6. "And he called the 12 disciples together, and gave them power and authority over all demons, and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." And then Luke 10, verses 1 and 2 and then 9. "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." In verse 9, "And heal the sick that are there, and say to them, the kingdom of God is come near to you." The first thing Jesus did was appoint 12 men and give them power to cast out devils and heal the sick. Jesus was transitioning from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He was bringing in the New Testament. He was an example of what a new creature would look like. He was an example of what a human being that was forgiven of their sins and in right standing with God, who was carrying God inside of them, what they would look like, what they could do, what the authority was. So he was teaching his disciples how to follow in his steps. And as you read the book of Acts, you will see that's exactly what they did. Now, Jesus, his disciples are doing these signs and wonders before redemption comes, before Satan's judged and defeated. The New Testament, the church, should be at least as powerful as the 12 apostles were before the cross. We can see how they turned the world upside down after the cross, after redemption was purchased and Satan was defeated and destroyed. It says in Hebrews 9:12, "Not with the blood of goats and bulls, but with his own blood, he entered into the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." Jesus' work on the cross, the purpose of it, was to redeem mankind from all sin and from all judgment for sin. He bore our sin and he bore our judgment, freeing us from sin and its judgment. It says in Romans 5:11, "And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we have received the reconciliation." So Jesus purchases eternal redemption, and he reconciles the world back to God. So anybody that will believe the gospel will be reconciled to God. They'll be accepted by God. They'll be justified by his blood. They'll be given an inheritance of health and healing and provision and peace and love and joy, all these wonderful things that are in the kingdom of God's dear Son that we've been translated into. They become ours as our inheritance. Jesus said to go and tell the people the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What he was saying is the Messiah has come. What we would say today, if we were to tell people that Jesus loves you, he bore your sins on the cross, he's not counting your sins against you, he's opened the door for you to receive the forgiveness of sins and be reconciled to your Father in heaven. Not only did he redeem you of your sin, he also bore your judgment for sin and redeemed you from the curse of the law, which is sickness, disease, and pain. He's made provision for you to be healed of any sickness or disease or pain you may have. Come, be reconciled to God. Receive your inheritance so that you can walk in health and you can walk in provision and you can have the love of God in your heart and you can walk with God. It's amazing gospel. It says in Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So we see that we have been redeemed from every lawless deed. That means that Jesus Christ paid the debt for every sin we will ever commit in our life. God will not count our sin against us because Jesus Christ has already borne our sin and paid the debt for it. Therefore, God will not count our sins against us. That is the good news. Therefore, we can boldly and confidently stand before God without any sense of unworthiness or guilt or shame, knowing that we are completely forgiven of our sins. Therefore, we can boldly go to the throne of God and obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Hebrews 4:16. It says in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we see the curse of the law is judgment for sin. Deuteronomy 28:15-68 tells you exactly what that curse is. It is sickness, disease, and pain, and all human suffering is bound up in that curse that Jesus redeemed you from. Therefore, you don't have to partake of that curse. You're actually free from that curse. It has no legal right to afflict you. Not only that, but the blessing of Abraham, which was the free gift of righteousness, and also that God would bless you and multiply you, and also that you would be qualified to receive the mighty Holy Spirit to come upon you and endue you with power from on high, and also to be able to carry him inside of you as his temple and becoming one with God. It's amazing. This is the gospel. You have to understand what the gospel is that you're going to be sharing with people. The gospel is God has forgiven you of your sins. He has also healed you of all sickness, disease, and pain. Forgiveness is made. The provision of forgiveness is available for you. And the provision of healing is made available to you. And you, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, as a believer in Christ, you are also a priest that's going to administer the exchange. In other words, you're going to help a sinner transition from being a sinner to being a saint, and you're going to help someone that's sick and diseased and in pain to transition into a position of healing and health. That's our privilege. We get to do that. It says in John 12:31, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world is cast out. At the cross, Satan gets judged and cast out of his place before God to accuse us. It says in Revelation 12:10, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of the brethren, who accused them before God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life unto the death. So Satan has been cast out of his position before God to accuse us because Jesus forgave us. You can't accuse the forgiven. And now we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the truth that we have been redeemed from all sin. Therefore, Satan has no legal grounds to accuse us or condemn us because we're forgiven. And he certainly cannot afflict us because you cannot judge or afflict the pardoned, the forgiven. So if he comes against us and afflicts us, it's illegal. All we have to do is carry our case before God and plead our case, and God will judge in our behalf and make him leave every single time. It says in Hebrews 2:14, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." We're no longer subject to bondage because we have been forgiven of our sins and we have been reconciled to God. We have been translated from Satan's dominion into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now we have the kingdom in us and we're in the kingdom and we carry the kingdom with us wherever we go. So we have been freed from the fear of death. We are free from Satan coming and afflicting us at will. We are no longer under his dominion. He was destroyed at the cross. He lost his power to accuse us and condemn us and afflict us. He lost that power at the cross because Jesus bore our sin and he bore our judgment. And therefore God forgives us and reconciles us to himself. And he's no longer counting our sins against us. And if God is not counting your sins against you, Satan has no legal right to afflict you. It's powerful. Colossians 2:13, "And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcised in your flesh, he has made alive together with him, and having forgiven you all trespasses, wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, that was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." He wiped out the handwriting of requirement. That is the Old Testament law that required you to obey it perfectly in order to be in right standing or to be righteous before God. Jesus takes that requirement away and gives us a free gift of righteousness when we believe the gospel. So Satan is disarmed at the cross because he can no longer accuse us for sin. For we no longer have the requirement of having to be perfect in order to be righteous. Now we're giving a free gift of righteousness. Therefore, Satan cannot accuse us when we sin because we are forgiven. He is stripped of his power to accuse us. That's the glorious gospel. Colossians 1:13, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin." You have to understand that we are no longer under the power of darkness. The power of darkness is where Satan had a right to accuse you before God because you were under the Old Testament law of Moses. And then if you were found guilty, he would come in and afflict you. But Jesus Christ has forgiven us of our sins. He's made a new covenant. So under the new covenant, our righteousness is given to us as a free gift. So Satan no longer can accuse us, nor can he afflict us. If he does, he's breaking the law, and all you have to do is resist him, and he will have no choice but to flee. Then Romans 8:29, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren." Jesus Christ was the first new creature. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become new creatures. Jesus was the first one. He was our example. He showed us how a new creature can walk on the earth. If you want to know the potential that you have as a Christian, go and look at Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can do those same works. Jesus said in John 14:12, "He who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father, and I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it." This is a powerful, powerful gospel. We have to realize who we are as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the body of Jesus Christ. He was an example for us. It says in Luke 24:47, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And Jesus is talking to his disciples here. "And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Then Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." So Jesus was telling his disciples, wait for the Holy Spirit. This is the message. The message is, God has forgiven you of your sins. God has healed you of all your sicknesses and diseases. That's the message. Now wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Now be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let him come upon you, because he's going to come upon you and rest over you. So you have this power hovering over you, so that when you preach the gospel, the power of God that's hovering over you, the Holy Spirit hovering over you, he can confirm it with signs following. It's amazing. It says in Luke 10:18, "And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather that your names are written in heaven." The point is that the spirits are subject to you. A scorpion and a snake is an insect that bites and injects poison. It is a picture of sickness and disease. We have authority over sickness and disease. It shall not hurt us. Satan will come and tempt you. He will come and bite you with a sickness or with a disease or with a pain. All you have to do is resist it. All you have to do is say, no, you can't do that to me. I have power over you. I don't permit you to do that. We have to understand that Jesus has given us his authority to cast out devils and to heal the sick. That's what he's done. You as a Christian have the authority to cast out devils and heal the sick. You have that authority, and you have a commission to go and undo the works of the devil, to go and seek and save the lost, to go and demonstrate the gospel, to prove to people that Jesus rose again from the dead. He's alive forevermore. It's a powerful gospel. It says in Mark 16:15, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues." This next verse here says, "They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it won't hurt them." That's simply saying that the serpents and the scorpions that we talked about that you have authority over, if they bite you, it won't hurt you. Satan doesn't have a legal right to afflict you with sickness and disease. The curse of the law won't hurt you. You're immune from it. For if it comes, you can resist it and it'll leave. Then it says, "And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up to heaven. He sat down at the right hand of God, and you were seated with him positionally in a place of authority, Ephesians 2:6. "And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through accompanying signs." So what were they preaching? They were preaching that Jesus Christ bore your sins. Jesus Christ has forgiven you of your sins. He has opened the door for you to be reconciled to your Father. Not only did he bear your sins, but he bore your judgment for sin and has redeemed you from the curse of the law, from all sickness, disease, and pain. He has already healed you. He's made provision for you to be healed. All you have to do is receive it with your faith. Just like you receive salvation by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive healing by realizing that healing is the children's bread, and just receive it into your heart and proclaim with your mouth, I am healed. Just like when you get saved, you got to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and with your mouth you confess that Jesus is Lord. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You receive healing the same way. You believe in your heart the scripture that proclaims that Jesus bore your sickness and your disease and your pain, and with your mouth you proclaim, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. It's the same thing. And you keep speaking it, and you keep speaking it to that sickness until it bows its knee. Now, that's who we are. We are the children of God. We have a message of salvation, of redemption, that you're redeemed from all sin. If someone will believe that, they receive the forgiveness of sins. They've been redeemed from the curse of the law. If they receive that, they receive the healing from all sickness, disease, and pain. It's amazing. You have to realize that sickness and disease and pain is a scorpion or snake. Jesus describes sickness, disease, and pain as being bitten by a snake. They're pictures of spirits of infirmity. Jesus shows us the spiritual world through the natural world. You have to realize you have authority over all devils to cast them out. So when you see someone that's afflicted, you understand, I have authority to cast that out of them. I have authority to release the anointing of God's healing that will flow into them and heal them. I have that privilege and I have that authority. I carry a treasure in me. The treasure is the King, King Jesus, His precious Holy Spirit. I carry Him in me. I'm His body. It's not me that's healing the sick. It's not me that's casting out devils. I'm using the authority of the King who lives in me. I'm letting the King flow through me to heal the sick and cast out devils. There are angels around me to confirm His word that I speak with my mouth. I am just a vessel carrying the King around on planet Earth. I have the privilege of being a co-laborer with Him, walking with Him. We're working hand in hand. I carry Him around. I speak the word, and He confirms it with signs following. I command someone to be healed, and He sends an angel to heal them, or His Holy Spirit goes and heals them. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful, wonderful gospel. It says in James 5:14, is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if he has committed sins, he shall be forgiven. So here we see again the forgiveness of sin and healing from our sicknesses. Jesus redeemed us from every lawless deed, the forgiveness of sin. And Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, healing of sickness and disease. See, it's purchased in the redemption. We have a legal right to go and set people free by sharing with them that Jesus loves them, He's forgiven them, He's opened the door for them to be reconciled to God. They have received a glorious inheritance, which includes healing from all sickness, disease, and pain. So as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, what we're to do, we're to go and share with people this gospel. And then when we pray for them, the Bible says that you look at that infirmity, that sickness, that disease, or that pain as a mountain, and you look at that mountain, you look at that sickness, that pain, and you command it to be removed from their body in the name of Jesus, because you have dominion over it, and you have a legal right to command them to leave because they're breaking God's law of redemption. They have no legal right to be there, so you're commanding them to be removed and to go. Jesus looked at a woman that was bowed over for 18 years, and He said, woman, you are loosed from that infirmity. Jesus had authority over demons. Jesus was the Redeemer. He was a new creature. He was the righteousness of God. He had the authority, and he was an example to us. We have authority because we're the righteousness of God. We have authority because we are the redeemed. We have authority because God's not counting our sins against us. He's placed us in a position of authority as ambassadors on this earth. We're to go and undo the works of the devil. We're to go and cast out devils and heal the sick in the name of Jesus Christ. So you simply speak to the sickness and say, be removed from them in Jesus' name. Or you look at the person and you decree, you're free from that in Jesus' name. And then you can pray, Father, we release your healing power to flow into them and make them whole in the name of Jesus. Of course, you got the mighty Holy Spirit in you. And what I do many times as I'm praying, I'm listening, or I have my eyes closed and I'm looking for the gifts of the Spirit to operate. And many times the Holy Spirit will show you something and you just follow the Holy Spirit because he's the one that's going to heal them and deliver them. He needs you to give the command, the bold command, to be healed, or you're loose from that. Give that bold command. And then God will confirm it with signs following. It's an amazing gospel. And if you understand how this works, you can live the rest of your life free from the curse of the law, which is sickness, disease, and pain, and all that other stuff that goes with it. And not only that, but you have the privilege of being a light to the world, the salt of the earth. You have the privilege of being an ambassador of Jesus Christ, bringing hope to the world by the power of God. It is a glorious, glorious gospel. I encourage you to receive the ministry of reconciliation that God has given you, and be a light to the world. Amen.